Romans, the 12th chapter. On Sundays, we've been looking at our church and 2017 and new ministry and all kinds of opportunities. And today, we want to tie it with the wonderful theme of love found for Valentine's Day. Guys, if you haven't remembered, Valentine's Day is 2 days away, right? She will not be content with you looking over at her and saying, "Oh, you know I love you." Oh, she's gracious, and she'll say, "Oh, yes," and she, because that's what she'll do. But inside, she'll say, "You cheapskate." So get out there and do something for her, guys, all right? Let her know that you love her. How often does God tell us in the Scripture that He loves us? And what has God done to show us that He loves us? Again and again and again. By the way, let me show you how this works. It wasn't just one time for God. The Bible literally says that His mercies are new. Every morning, God says to you, "Oh, I just want to remind you, I love you." Hello, guys. Hey, you got it. So let her know, right? But here's what the Bible says. I want to tie this together because this is hugely important. I do not want to get you all excited about service and leave out the very basic of what this service is all about. I do not believe in browbeating you into doing things for the church, all right? If you sign up to do something for in service to the Lord because your pastor is making you feel guilty, you will hate me and hate the church for it, and you won't do it very long. You'll quit, all right? That's not going to work. The Bible says things like this: "And hereby shall men know that ye are my disciples." How? If you have love one for another. Love is that key word. Jesus looked at His disciples and said, "I don't want you to be browbeaten into being obedient." He says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." So I want to put this in perspective today. I do not want to spend the whole of this first part of the year getting you all hyped up about service, and you miss out on why you should be serving. Do you know what service without love looks like? 1 Corinthians chapter 13. "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity or love, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge and all, have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, it profited me nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity," that's what, it profited me nothing. Charity, love being the key word. So as we are approaching this, and by the way, I'm saying all of this because next Sunday night, we're ready to start putting pen to paper and letting you say, "Pastor, I've been thinking about it, praying about it. God's been working on my heart. These are some ways in which I want to serve the Lord in 2017. It may be that you're just going to simply recommit yourself to what you're already doing. And that's fine. I understand that. Some of you are already busy about the things of God, and fantastic. We're not trying to get you out of service. We're trying to get you into it. All right? But some of you say, "Well, you know, I kind of am comfortable." Hello. That's what we want to get you out of. Get you out of your comfort zone and doing something that's unique for 2017. If we keep doing the same things we're doing, then 2017 will look a lot like 2016, a lot like 2015, a lot like 2014. But if we incorporate new things, unique things for this year into what we've been doing, then 2017 all of a sudden becomes something very unique. In Romans chapter 12, it starts out this way, and then we'll have a word of prayer. It says in verse 1, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living," what's that word? "Sacrifice. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your," what's that next word? "Reasonable." God counts sacrifice as reasonable service. Father, bless this message. Help us to understand what you want for us and what you desire for us. Give us a love for you and a love for your work in such a way that we are willing to allow you to push us out of our comfort zone and to do something unique as we approach 2017, that this year might be a banner year for our church, not so that we have a brag point, but so that you do a mighty work in our midst. And Father, we will thank and praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's take a look at Romans chapter 12. Now, what I want to do is walk us through. We've already gone over the gifts that are mentioned there, the earlier part of the Romans chapter 12, and how God has given you certain gifts. And I don't believe it's just a one-on-one. And that was back when we were doing this on Sunday night. So those of you who missed that Sunday night, well, you just have to go back and listen to it. But God gifts his people for the purpose of, you know, ministering within the church. And so every one of you, whether you like it or not, believe it or not, know it or not, God has gifted you. And God's anticipation and expectation is that it is reasonable for us to sacrificially use that gift in service to him. Not because we feel like our arm has been twisted behind our back, not because we feel guilty, but because we love the Lord. That ought to be our motivation. By the way, can I slip another one in there? That's the same way of giving. You know, God loves a cheerful giver. How do you become a cheerful giver? Love the Lord. It's that simple. You know what I mean? It's easy when we love the Lord. It's easy to volunteer. It's easy to give. It's easy to serve when it starts with love. But if you think that, you know, my cajoling you is going to be all it takes, then you're going to be disappointed. At the end of Romans chapter 12, what he does is, in a very practical sense, he says, when my people are doing what is reasonable and giving themselves sacrificially to me in service because they love me and using the gifts that I've given them to accomplish my service, this is what it looks like. And now we're going to go through from verse 9 all the way to the end of the chapter at lightning speed. Because, by the way, can you hear my voice? Thank you. Some of you are like, oh no, it's back. And it is kind of back. I actually sang last night a little bit at the Valentine's banquet. It was fun. I sang a little bit over here. And somebody turned around and said, Pastor, that sounds wonderful. I'm like, tell my wife that. No, I'm just kidding. So, you know, it's getting there. But I was also reminded last night, you know, Pastor, you spent a lot of time doing this last tonight for the Valentine's banquet. You probably better cut it short tomorrow morning. Yeah, well, we'll see. I don't know. So we're going to go from verse 9. And what we want to do is simply say to ourselves, this is what it ought to look like here at Southeast Baptist Tabernacle. If it is true that we are sacrificially using the gifts that God has given us because we love the Lord for his service, then this is what it looks like. Take a look at verse 9. Let love be without dissimulation. Or in other words, this isn't phony. He starts this whole process out of saying, listen, love is key. We have to love the Lord. And we can't fake this. If you think you're going to fake it, then you will be one of those people who 3 months into your service, your sacrificial service, you're going to say, it's too much. I can't do it. It's just not going to work. I'm just being honest with you, right? I want you to start with this premise that I love the Lord. I'm not doing this because I love my pastor. I hope you love me. But that's irrelevant. It really is, right? Because if I die today, which is possible, right? I hope it's not going to happen, but it's possible. If I die today, you ought to still be ready to serve, right? Because the Lord's still there. And so it's not that our love for each other that's driving this. It's our love for the Lord. Let love be without dissimulation. Don't pretend this. Don't fake it. Abhor that which is evil and cleave to that which is good. When God's people take upon themselves this mantle, I'm going to serve sacrificially using my gifts because I love my Savior, then a unique thing begins to happen in our response to sin in our lives. We do not like, we abhor, we hate that which is keeping us from serving God and doing what is right and pleasing Him. And we cleave, we hold to that which is good, and we love the things that are godly and righteous and holy. Be kindly affectioned, verse 10, one to another with brotherly love. Boy, he keeps bringing love up, doesn't he? I love this. Now, by the way, can I say this? This is one of the hallmarks of our church. I love our church because we actually are kind to each other. I don't know if you've ever noticed that, but this is a fun place to be because you actually are nice to one another. If somebody is not sitting by somebody, it's probably just because someone took your place or your seat. I'm aware that there may be somebody in here who's sitting on the opposite side of the church from, so I don't know if that's true or not. I don't know it. But as far as I know, that is not what is permeating our congregation. There's a brotherly kindness that's in there, and I love it. And so this is what happens when God's people embrace the way God wants us to live. In honor, preferring one another. Verse 11, not slothful in... Can I interject this right here? Come next week. That's Sunday night. We're going to ask you to say, okay, I'm ready to start volunteering. Then when you do that, understand that you need to, if you're going to be doing this sacrificially out of love for the Lord, you can't be slothful about it. There's nothing worse than signing up people to do a job and then they don't show up for it, right? The book of Proverbs describes those people in some funny ways. It says that someone who, I'm paraphrasing, I can't remember the exact quote, but someone who you send out to do a job that's undependable is like trying to walk on a broken foot or trying to chew on a broken tooth. You know, you may take a few steps and it seems okay, and then all of a sudden down you go. You may take a few bites and it seems okay, and all of a sudden, you know, you've got so much pain that you can't take it. And that, so when we do this the right way, when God's people say, I love the Lord, that's first and foremost. Therefore, I present myself a living sacrifice for the purpose of service, using the gifts that God has given me, it results in a not slothful in business concept. That's what it looks like when it's done the right way. And we want to do this the right way. We want to make 2017 unique. And by the way, lest you think I'm taking this out of context, would you look at the last three words of that verse, verse 12? I'm sorry, verse 11, not slothful in business. Fervent spirit, what does it say? Oh, yeah, it is about the service to the Lord. It is. Serving the Lord. This is how it's done. Fervent spirit. Rejoicing. Look up here for a minute. Smile. Hey, I do not want Southeast Baptist Tabernacle to become a burden to you. I don't. You'll quit coming. And I love you. I want you to stick around. You understand? So if what we do is burden you with our ministry, then it becomes really difficult for you to just... There's a rejoicing that comes with this. So if we don't back up and do this the right way, it starts with, I love the Lord, therefore I present my body a living sacrifice so that I can serve the Lord using my gifts. If we don't start it out and do this the right way, then it becomes a burden rather than a rejoicing. And this ought to be a rejoicing, even when, by the way, it's difficult. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. This is what it begins to look like. I tell you, for those of you who have not yet done much of this, you're going to learn the last part of that verse. Becoming instant in prayer. Let me explain this to you. Remember I keep talking about those 2 and 3 and 4-year-olds that we've got? We actually had to buy some more chairs. We ran out of those little kid chairs. We don't have enough of them. I think we've only got like 24. And we keep having to split them between rooms as if we just bought some more chairs. Okay. You want to learn how to pray? Volunteer for that group for a while. You want to learn how to become instant in prayer? Get involved in the ministry that God has called you to. And it'll teach you something about your prayer life. It really will. And I use that as a joke, but it's not always a joke. You'll become instant in prayer because all of a sudden someone who you've actually learned to love because you've been ministering to them is in need. And you'll pray differently. Instant in prayer. Look at verse 13. Distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. That is, by the way, part of the process that we're asking you to sign up for. Some of what we're doing is to distribute to the necessity of the saints. Shut-ins ministries and hospital ministries and things like that. Some of it is, you know, to learn how to be hospitable. You know, to actually be, friendly and welcoming and open and learning how to do that in a smaller scale. We do that here, but, we're comfortable. But as we get out of our comfort zone and we go stand in front of a group and we say, Pastor, I can't stand in front of a group. Don't. Sit in the back of the room, but do so in a spirit of hospitality. And you're a great help to that teacher. You understand? Do you think that the first impression that people get about our church is in this room or at the front door? You get the idea? Do you think there's an important ministry that happens at the back of the building, so to speak, where you're not really in front of people, you're standing there, would you like a bulletin, would you like a bulletin, good to have you here. You know, it's just, you say, well, that's just, all I'm doing is passing out bulletins. So if you're passing out bulletins with a smile, you're doing more than that. You understand? Now, if you're passing out bulletins with a complaint, okay, but you get the idea. It all starts there. And look at verse 14. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Now, say, wait a minute, Pastor, that has nothing to do with service. No. What it has to do with is the atmosphere that comes from a body of believers who say, I'm going to love the Lord so much that I present my life a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, so that I might serve him using the gifts that he has given me. And here's what happens. All of a sudden, that prickliness, that easily offendedness begins to melt away. And we find it within our power, as we've been strengthened by the Spirit of God, that's our power, to actually bless those that persecute and curse us. Wow. If you ever try to say, I don't know how they do that. Well, I'll tell you how they do it. They love the Lord. And then they serve the Lord. And they use the gifts that God has given them. And a result of that is an atmosphere where we can bless those who persecute us. Bless and curse not. Verse 15, rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep. You know, one of the ministries we're looking at is, you know, that ministry of counseling, that ministry of encouragement, that ministry of, these are several ministries I'm you know, looking at, but that ministry of taking a new church member or a new believer and walking them through things. And so that we get to this place where we can rejoice with them that do rejoice. We have an opportunity to do that today. Right? 9 pounds, 5 ounces, 20 inches long, William Carson, coming into this world. Wow, we can rejoice. They're rejoicing. That's great. And weep with them that weep. One of the things that I've loved about our church over the years is that you do know how to do that. I've never seen a church that comes alongside hurting people as well as this church does. And every one of you has ever been hurting. You know what I'm talking about. This church just has that. You know, in fact, we had a testimony time in Sunday night church service, people stand up and give them testimonies. And one of the people stood up and said, I thank God that Southeast Baptist Tabernacle is like a hospital for hurting Christians. Remember that testimony? I thought, wow, that is a good way to describe this church. God has been so good to that. And that's part of those ministries. Yeah. Pastor, I could do that. I could actually encourage someone whose heart is broken. Fantastic. We've got some ministry opportunities for you. Keep going, verse 16. Be of the same mind, one toward another. Now, listen to me. Being of the same mind does not mean that we agree on everything. All right? I like my ice cream plain. I'm talking about homemade ice cream. If you're store-bought ice cream, all bets are off. You can give it to me whatever you want because it's not that good. But homemade ice cream, I want it plain. I don't want anything in it, you know? It may not be you. It's just me, all right? So we disagree on how we eat our ice cream, but that doesn't mean we're not of the same mind, all right? That's not the concept. The same mind doesn't mean we have to agree. The same mind means that we love each other in spite of the fact that we don't agree, right? We don't let our disagreements get in the way of our service to the Lord and loving one another. Being of the same mind, one toward another, minding not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. The idea is that, you know, we're not going to say, well, this person's better than this person, so I will minister to this person, but I won't minister to this one. No, that James says that's a sin. Read the book of James again. When we treat others with respect, God is no respecter of persons. He loves us all, right? And that respect isn't like the good kind of respect, but it's that bias. You know, that somehow someone over here in this category is more worthy of the gospel, more worthy of the service of God than someone over here in this category. And so we might not hide things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. This is the natural outflow. Wouldn't you love to go to a church that looks like this? Where people aren't wise in their own conceits, you know? Pray for your pastor. This is difficult sometimes. This is the danger of leadership. You know, be reasonable. Do it my way, right? You know, that's not the way we ought to be, right? We ought not to become wise in our own conceits, but we ought to be willing to listen and willing to come together and work together. And that's what God's pointing out. When we do this God's way, that happens. It's the natural outflow of people loving God and serving God with the gifts that God has given them. That's the natural outflow. Look at verse 17. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Ouch. You know what that says? That says, grow up. That's what that says. That's in the Greek. You just didn't see it there. It means quit acting like you're in second grade. But he hit me first. Really? Well, we would never say that. We're not in second grade. No, what we would say is, they said something about me first. Or, you know, and it just happens. It's the nature of us apart from the grace of God, right? But when we love God like we ought, serve God because we love him, using the gifts that he has given, one of the natural outflows is that that kind of an attitude stops. So that we're not recompensing evil for evil. They said this, I did that. They did this, I did that. You know, you'd be amazed how that can happen within the situation of a church setting. And so let's do this God's way and let God do some amazing things. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. You know, here's the way it works. In the sight of all men is honest, right? You know, we don't send out letters to invite the IRS to come into our church and look at our books. But if the IRS said they want to come in and look at our books, what do we care? Do you understand? I mean, we're not putting out invitations, but what do we care? We're not trying to hide anything. You know, it's honest in the sight of all men. What do we care? And that's the way we ought to be doing all of this, all of this service toward the Lord. That's the natural outflow of doing this the right way, doing this the way God has provided for us to do it. This gets even harder. Listen to what it says. Verse 18. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with your friends. No, okay. Live peaceably with the ones you like the most. No. Live peaceably with all men. Do you understand? Our responsibility is to get over our pettiness and as much as lieth in me. Now, I'll just be honest. I tend to be. I may not seem like this, okay? But you can ask my wife, okay? I am stubborn. I am just stubborn. And if somebody says, you can't, I am likely to dig in my heels and say, just watch me. You know, that's just, it is my nature. It is the nature that I have, all right? Which, by the way, if it's about the things of the Scripture, amen, right? That's good. But you know how often that happens, that it's about the things of the Scripture versus about, it's kind of like this. You know that you're driving down the interstate and the guy comes up and then kind of tailgates you a little bit and then he zips around you? You know what I want to do? You know what I do? If I'm not careful? Yeah, I'm going to show you, buddy. You know, and why? What's the point? What is the point of that other than my own flesh, my own pride getting in the way? You know, and that's the problem. And God says, when we do this God's way, when we love him first and foremost, and I have his love being that which is my motivation, all of a sudden I view you differently. And therefore, when you slight me, which seldom ever happens, but, you know, if you slighted me, rather than digging my heels, being offended, being stubborn, I do everything that lieth within me to live peaceably with all men. So if you want to be first in line, if it's that important to you to get to the stop sign before I do, the peaceably way to do this is that I can let you. You understand? And it's a big challenge. This is not our nature. I don't think I'm probably that unique in this room. I think that there's probably many of us that are that way. And so, you know, somebody takes our seat, and the next week we are sure that we are 5 minutes earlier, and we will be 5 minutes earlier for the next 52 weeks, if that's what it takes, to get our spot because what? Because, just because. I don't know what else to say in there. Well, when God begins to work, it changes so that I can do whatever I have to live peaceably with all men. If it means that I have to stand, that's what I have to do. But look around. No one has to stand. There's still plenty of room, right? So, yeah, this is what it looks like. Let's do this God's way, and let's let God build within this ministry such a uniqueness that when people look at Southeast Baptist Tabernacle, they don't say, wow, that's a nice church, those are nice people. They say, no, that couldn't be unless God was doing a work. Look at what God has done with a group of people who ought to hate each other, and they get along. How weird is that? It's not normal. Verse 19, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. See, the Lord said, vengeance is mine. No. The Lord said, vengeance is his, right? He's the one saying it. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Verse 20, therefore, now this is where it gets really tough, all right? This is the ultimate. When we have started out doing this because we love God, that's the starting point. If you love me, keep my commandments. And hereby shall men know that you're my disciples. And we're not going to have that hollow kind of service that Paul describes in 1 Corinthians 13, the first three verses, without love. And when we do this God's way, this becomes a reality. Listen to what it says. If thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him to drink, something to drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Are you ready, Southeast Baptist? I'm not asking you, have I talked you into it? I'm not asking you, have I guilted you into it? I'm asking you, do you love the Lord? And are you ready, because you love the Lord, to say, okay, Lord, it may not be much, but I present my body a living sacrifice. Here it is. Because I love you, I'm going to take the gifts that you've given me, and I'm going to use what is just reasonable to serve you. And when we do that, folks, if Southeast Baptist Tabernacle comes together and does that, then the rest of chapter 12 becomes our reality. That kind of a church that should not exist on the face of this earth, but God does a work. Heads bowed, eyes closed, please.